This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Go with a complete stranger to an iconic sports venue if all things are paid for. Go ahead, Sam, would you, from Pro Football Focus?
It depends how close access I had to some form of blunt object to ensure safety.
So, yes, that's
you need a bowling pin.
That's the bowling pin.
Like, around the room.
Easy access to the bedside lamp. You know, just enough to make sure that if anything does happen, you're well sorted.
Sounds like you have experience with this, Sam.
Well, look, we've all got skeletons in the closet. Let's just not ask any questions.
Hope there's a baseball bat next to the skeleton. All right, Sam Monson joining us for Pro Football Focus. Last year, you used a term. You used a phrase. You said terminal problems. Baker had terminal problems that were corrected with the work of him and Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski and everything. You were very encouraged by Baker Mayfield in the 2020 season. 2021, you seem to have been a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. Now, there's an 81% completion percentage, but there's plenty of people going, yeah, but those are screens. And NFL.com and NFL on CBS said, well, no, a lot of these passes have been 20 yards downfield. So pick through some of this stuff, Sam. Why is Baker better through the first 2 weeks than he ever has been?
Yeah, I mean, we said heading into this season that you should expect Baker Mayfield to have a career year this year, given everything around him, that there's no more lack of preseason, there's no more first year in the system without any time to really bed everything in. There's no more like ridiculous defense looming in week one that's going to take the thing down before it's really spooled up. Everything was up and running. That's been dealt some blows with Odell Beckham still not being 100% back and in the fold, and then Jarvis Landry getting injured. But everything was in a much better situation heading into this year than it was heading into last season. And given the way he ended last year with this run of being, I think he was our second highest graded quarterback from like week seven onwards. So you should have expected that to keep going and Mayfield to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And he's been pretty good so far. I don't think that you can put it all down to, a bunch of screens. He's dealt with some, or he has some easy, high percentage, low effort kind of passes in this offense, but that's one of the reasons why you should expect him to have this career year. His average depth of target is over 8 yards, which is middle of the pack. You know, it's not amongst the highest, it's not amongst the lowest, it's right in the middle somewhere. And he's averaging, the only person averaging more yards per attempt is Russell Wilson. So this offense is incredibly productive, and as long as Mayfield can cut down on just a couple of bad mistakes here or there, I think you're talking about a quarterback that should rank statistically amongst the best by the end of the year.
This is why we love having Sam on, because he digs a little deeper than just some of the normal metrics that people have been using for years, like me, with passer rating and QBR, things like that. But I am curious how you evaluate guys like Baker or anybody right now when it seems like two-thirds of the league are having career percentage marks and everybody's so accurate, and it seems like it's never been easier to complete a pass right now. How do you dig deeper and explain who's actually working at very efficient and effective levels?
Yeah, I think those are all true. Offenses have gotten better. They've made life easier for quarterbacks. There's a lot of sort of expected yards that exist now where all you have to do is complete a pass and the scheme is giving you free money. The scheme is giving you statistics that quarterbacks in the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s, that those guys had to earn with more difficult throws deeper down the field into tighter windows. So that's definitely true. On the other hand, that means you need to be more efficient than ever before. And there's no room anymore for a guy who's going to have scattershot accuracy and miss those easier plays, because the offense relies on those things being complete. It's part of the cadence. It's part of staying ahead of the chains and keeping the offense moving. And if you're a guy that, you know, misses a couple of easy screen passes because of basic inaccuracy, you're putting your offense in a hole and you're making your own life difficult, because now you need to make up for that on 3rd and 12, or, you know, 3rd and 10, when it should have been set, or when it should have been 3rd and 5 or whatever. So you're making your own life more difficult. So I think efficiency has never been more important. And that's why inaccuracy is one of the biggest issues with quarterbacks. If you're going to be an inaccurate quarterback, you need to make up for that by having a massive percentage of bigger plays deeper down the field, those kind of big-time throws, the ones that can get chunk plays and flip field position in one play. And if you're not doing that, you're just not a capable NFL quarterback at this point. So I think Baker Mayfield is an extremely efficient quarterback. He was one of the most accurate passers we'd ever seen in college football. And while I don't think he's ever quite gotten back to that level in the NFL, we're seeing this year that, you know, he can be incredibly accurate. His adjusted completion rate is 85%. So only Kirk Cousins is higher than that. And Kirk Cousins is dealing with a much lower average depth of target. He is reaping the benefits of that, those easier passes. So I think Mayfield is definitely efficient enough to be a high-end quarterback and take advantage of the free stuff and then make some big plays over the top of it. Really, his only issue at this point is he puts the ball in harm's way just a little bit more than you want to see from a top quarterback.
Well, that's my next question, Sam. And we've seen that in some fourth quarters where he's had, over the last, you know, three plus years, he's had a number of fourth quarter drives and in interceptions in close games when losing. We went over the numbers before, and some of those advanced metrics that are found on your site, they kind of tell that tale that he has had trouble in fourth quarter. Basically, when teams know you're going to pass and you have to pass, it's harder on all quarterbacks, but Baker's a little bit lower in the pecking order. So do you think we can see that take a surge forward? Is that something you think can be worked on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you look at when you actually look at the plays in detail, a lot of the times you can excuse a lot of them. And it's very difficult sometimes when you're dealing with such small sample sizes to draw real conclusions from it. So the turnover where, you know, he's trying to throw the ball away, a guy grabs his ankle and it takes all the power out of that arm and it ends up underthrown and picked off. Like, realistically, that's just unlucky. I mean, it shouldn't have happened. He was trying to get rid of the ball, and just the timing caused an interception. So part of you wants to just say, well, that just happens sometimes, but then it doesn't happen to some other quarterbacks. You know, guys like Tom Brady don't tend to get caught on plays like that. It just, they find a way of knowing that pressure is coming, of making sure the ball's out before that guy gets contact on them, and it's never a factor. Similarly, you know, an interception or a bad turnover-worthy play thrown when Anthony Schwartz was running a dig route, it was an ugly route from Schwartz. I think any other receiver, and it's probably not a problem. It may even be complete to a guy like Jarvis Landry, but Schwartz made a mess of the route, was late on it, and the safety's driving all the way, and suddenly Baker's throwing the ball right to a safety. These are just sort of tiny little things, but they all seem to break away from Baker right now. And I don't know if that's a permanent thing, if it's something in his game that means he's a little bit more prone to those kinds of plays versus guys like Brady, who have, you know, 20 years of experience of understanding when are the tiny little subtleties that get you away half a second before versus half a second after. But right now he's sort of riding a run of those where he's getting caught just a little bit. And I think that's one of the things we need to see, if he can clean that up and if he can develop a little bit and just sort of figure out that sixth sense the quarterbacks need to take him just away from those ugly plays, because those are really like the only issue in his game right now.
We got Sam Monson joining us from Pro Football Focus. What are realistic expectations for Odell Beckham Jr. in 2021?
it's tough because there's no reason he can't be an elite number one wide receiver again. He's, you know, young enough. If he's 100% healthy, that's obviously the biggest hurdle. There's no reason why he shouldn't thrive within this offense. They are crying out for a number one receiver with Jarvis Landry going down, and with the guys they currently have on the roster, they're going to lean on the tight ends and the running backs a little bit. But this offense is built for success from one or two wide receivers out wide. And, you know, if you look at what Minnesota have done in the past, it's not going to be necessarily a high volume type of offense for that number one receiver. You're not going to get 200 targets in a season. But if you get, you know, 140, you can have a really productive season because of the space that run game and the play action and the bootlegs open up. So I don't see any reason why Odell Beckham still can't be that guy. The only concern is, you know, whether he has this sort of magnetism that causes Baker Mayfield to sort of start playing the game a little bit less and honestly, you know, start trying to feed the ball to Odell Beckham Jr. rather than taking where it's supposed to go. And when it's Odell's turn, it's Odell's turn. I think that's the only real concern or potential concern that I would have with him coming back.
What do you expect out of Justin Fields in this game and then for the rest of his season?
I think we're going to see fireworks. Whether it's good or bad, that's up for debate. I mean, he's got like 15 pass attempts, and two of them are big-time throws, and two of them are turnover-worthy plays, which is an astronomical rate in either of those things. So I think whatever it is, it's just going to be exciting. He's going to make some mistakes. There's going to be some ugly plays in there. He's going to cause himself some problems in terms of pressure and play within the pocket, but he's going to deliver some incredible passes because that guy has a huge arm. He's got ridiculous ability to put the ball in a specific spot, just accuracy. And he's got obviously incredible athleticism, like legitimate speed that can outrun defenders around the corner and turn just a lapse in concentration from the defensive line, from the pass rush, into a big play. So I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun to watch, but not necessarily all good.
What's with all the turnovers caused against, or I should say, what's with all the interceptions thrown by rookies so far?
I think it differs a little bit for each guy. Trevor Lawrence is not really being helped out by that offense at all, and he feels late on pretty much everything. He's just, the game is a little bit too fast for him right now. He's late on all these throws, and he has one of the highest average depth of target in the NFL. So he's late on throws deeper down the field, which means the window's closed by the time he gets it there. And he just needs to speed up his entire process and get the ball in the air sooner so that window is still open by the time the ball arrives. Or the Jags need to, you know, simplify that offense and dial down the difficulty level and kind of get him some easier pass attempts so that being late doesn't matter as much. Wilson, I think, is just struggling a little bit in terms of, again, he's not being given a ton of simple stuff and just trying a little bit too hard, and all the kind of out of rhythm, you know, crazy footwork, crazy arm angles, all those things that were such a positive from his BYU career in terms of, hey, this is like Mahomes, this is like Aaron Rodgers. That's only a good thing when everything's going well. When it isn't and you start to lean into that, like, those are the things you're not supposed to be doing. You know, you're supposed to set your feet under you and play with sound mechanics and all those kinds of things, because those give you the best chance of just delivering an accurate pass to where it's supposed to go. That being said, like, a couple of his picks haven't actually been his fault. They've been receivers letting him down and not necessarily helping out. So I think those are the two big ones. They lead, I think, they're number one and two in the NFL in terms of turnover-worthy plays through a couple of games. I think all of them will get better. It's just we forget sometimes because of how some of these rookies do hit the ground running that it's supposed to be hard.
I saw that Mike Clay put out a stat earlier today that says that home field advantage over the last 3 years has been nullified. We certainly understand last year why that would be the case with no fans, but right now it's trending again. It's only 2 weeks, but the home teams are negative 33 points. This has been a huge swing in the last 5 to 7 years. Do we know why this is? Are there any analytical numbers to break down that would explain this?
Yeah, it's tough to read too much into it. It's definitely been heading in that direction for a few years. And obviously last season throws all the numbers off. And this season, I think it's probably too soon to say. But I think teams are definitely getting better at being able to mitigate the disadvantages of being on the road, the idea of crowd noise and all those kinds of things. I mean, if you guys have been watching the Manning cast and you hear those guys talk about the importance of crowd noise and how Peyton Manning was able to just sort of silence the home crowd with a little wave and those kinds of things, communication, the ability to get through these things from an offensive point of view is huge. I think now, because of the way offenses have gone in terms of those quicker, easier, simpler throws and free yardage, it's not as big a problem as it used to be. Like, teams have gotten better at being able to communicate with gestures and signals and not audibly. They don't need the sound to be able to do it. And they've just gotten more efficient at being able to travel and be able to play in those noisy environments.
Final question, what's the difference between a scrum and a maul?
A scrum is a set piece. A scrum's like the start of a play. Everybody lines up, the ball hasn't been put in yet, and then away you go. A maul is like there's a pile of bodies and you're trying to push it one direction or the other.
See, I played rugby for a season,
wow.
Sam. Bet you didn't know that. I knew the difference. Your thoughts.
Nice.
Congratulations on all your success.
Good stuff. That's what I like to hear.
You don't care. It's okay. It's all right, Sam. Follow Sam on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. Sam, thank you for the time, buddy.
Take it easy, guys.
Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming up next, coming in hot, 216-578-0092. We won't screen you. We will not screen the calls. Double A's going to want to. We won't. It's go right on hold. Then you say whatever you want, within reason, obviously. Browns Bears on Sunday, coming in hot, and we have the message, we have the lines from the Sharps in Vermilion, next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.